ASAP. Any score, any place. We'll pull up on your boat, gang, or don't bang.
Bro, who's making this? No, wait. Who did this?
Let's go. Come on.
I'm so tired from watching.
90-yard touchdown. 90-yard touchdown.
What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and we also have John Kegley on today's show, one of the original founding members of the show. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Before we get started, we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and I also write for the LA Football Network, but we've been covering the Chargers for over five seasons doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly on Facebook during the season, and this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. What is up, everybody? Thank you for listening once again. Hope everybody had a really good weekend. On today's show, we're going to be talking about some comments from Tyrod Taylor and just what his attitude is going into this season with a chance to start for the team and how he is going to mentor rookie quarterback Justin Herbert. In the second segment, we're going to be getting into some training camp battles. We have five training camp battles to get to from an article on CBSSports.com. So we're going to start with that and talk about a couple of the flaws we think probably in that list. And then to wrap up the show, Hunter Henry went on the Pardon My Take podcast and he did about a 30-minute interview and he had a lot of funny stuff to say. So we're going to talk about some of his answers there, talking about him missing Phillip Rivers, what it's been like so far with Hard Knocks, and much more. But let's go ahead and get into it. Los Angeles Chargers quarterback Tyrod Taylor got to speak with the media and he talked about what it's like going into the season as a starting quarterback. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Over the weekend, quarterback Tyrod Taylor spoke with the media and he opened up a little bit about what he feels like going into this season as the presumed starting quarterback. And he also got into how he feels about having a rookie quarterback and how he felt when the Chargers ended up drafting a rookie quarterback for the future. And just a little bit about how he prepares entering the season and how he's always had to fight for everything. But one thing he started with was just talking about the fact that the Chargers took a rookie quarterback this year with the 6th overall pick, because that's obviously the job that he is currently occupying. And it can't be easy for a quarterback knowing that you're going to be the starter, seeing your team not sign a quarterback in free agency, and then drafting a quarterback, David. But he also said that he wasn't surprised when he saw the move.
No, not at all. I mean, Tyrod Taylor basically said, I figured that the Chargers would take a quarterback, but that never necessarily changed my mindset or my attack to the year. Tyrod Taylor trying to stay focused, trying not to let all of the other things around him mess up the opportunity that he has right now to start for the Chargers. He was also asked by reporters if he had any responsibility to help groom the young quarterback, and Tyrod Taylor said his focus is to go out and prepare myself for a season. At the same time, I'm not hiding any information. It's an open conversation amongst all of us. Tyrod with a pretty political answer there. Definitely seems like he's more focused on trying to take advantage of his starting opportunity than trying to bring along Justin Herbert and Easton Stick. Tyrod Taylor is trying to go out there, win games, and earn his money for the next contract.
Absolutely. For Tyrod Taylor, this is the ultimate opportunity to show other teams in the NFL that he deserves to be a starter in this league, and he is going into the final year of his contract with the teams. He knows that Justin Herbert is going to be the future for this team, and he's not going to hide anything. Obviously, the quarterback room is going to have a lot of good conversation, but it doesn't seem like he's going to go out of his way to try to bring along Justin Herbert and get him ready to start, because right now he is the guy sitting right behind him, ready to get into games if he struggles. But Tyrod Taylor has always had an underdog mentality. He's never been thought of as a really good quarterback in the NFL, even since he was drafted, David.
No, but if you ask him, that he would not give you that answer. Tyrod Taylor walks around with a guy with a lot of swagger, and he has a chip on his shoulder. He said, I was drafted in the 6th round, and even that day that I got drafted, I always had the mindset to prepare like a starter. So regardless of circumstances, that's how I stay mentally in it, and that's how I prepare myself mentally. So Tyrod Taylor definitely trying to stay focused. Never got mad about getting drafted in the 6th round. Just thought of himself as a starting quarterback no matter what. He was a backup for a good portion of his career, but he always was ready whenever his number was called. And he has a lot of experience in a situation with a team drafting a young quarterback. The last time he had an opportunity to start was with the Cleveland Browns. And he said, "A lot of things that happened in Cleveland was out of my control, but I never changed my attitude towards what I can do and towards the team. Moving forward to this one, whether it's viewed as the same circumstances, I focus on what I can control, and that's me bringing my A game each and every day, being a leader and bringing great energy towards the building." So Tyrod Taylor there with a very strong answer. He didn't duck the question. With this new opportunity as the starting quarterback of the Chargers, Daniel.
And this is the ultimate chance for him to change the narrative that way, because the last time anyone saw him as a starter, it went disastrously with the Cleveland Browns, and Baker Mayfield ended up taking over. But this season as the starter, and Anthony Lynn has already basically backed that up to the point where it doesn't even seem like it's a real open competition for starting quarterback week one of the season. This is the chance for him to prove to these other teams that he is a capable NFL starting quarterback, because next year he's going to be right out on the market again. And if he can have success with the Chargers and maybe lead a playoff run, he's going to earn himself a ton of money. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to be talking about five training camp battles from CBS Sports, and if some of these are even battles to be talking about, before wrapping the show up with Hunter Henry's fun interview on Pardon My Take coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that one thing that nobody ever wants to deal with is having to spend money on their car if something breaks down or you need something fixed. And I can change that for you guys with rockauto.com, because everyone can use some extra money at this time and you don't want to be spending extra money on your car. One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save that money, because why would you choose to spend 30 or 50 or 100% more on something that is the exact same from rockauto.com, which is where you should be buying all of your auto parts. With rockauto.com, you don't have to be worried about a mechanic or somebody that knows a lot more about cars than you getting a better price. And the best part is you don't have to go searching from traditional chain storefront to other stores, because Rock Auto has everything in their inventory and they will send it directly to your house. They have everything you need, from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. All you got to do is go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts they have available for your car or truck, and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Over the weekend, CBS Sports came out with an article talking about the five biggest training camp battles for the Chargers as they begin their training camp. And it was a little warped in my mind, just because there are five positions on here that I think you could technically look at as training camp battles, but some of them I'm not so sure. So just to get into the list of who they thought are the biggest ones, number one was offensive tackle, and I think I would probably agree with that one. Two is quarterback, three is slot receiver, four is cornerback, and five is free safety. So there are some that aren't even mentioned on this list that we'll get into, but I've more had a problem with the analysis, John, just because I think this is more of a national perspective of how other people think the Chargers are going to look in the battles that they're going to have during training camp. So, for example, when talking about the third wide receiver, which we talked plenty about, they talked about KJ Hill and Joe Reed. Both are promising young rookies with speed to burn, when obviously KJ Hill's draft stock plummeted after his 40 time. And then the other thing looking on this is just saying that Trey Pipkins and Sam Tevy both started more than a dozen games last season. According to Pro Football Reference, Pipkins only started three games last season, and obviously we know he doesn't have a ton of experience right now. So, John, I think you could make an argument that all of these are battles, but then when you see stuff like that, you kind of lose a little bit of credibility, because they also talked about Brian Bulaga playing on the left side, which could happen, but we have no reason to think that's going to happen. He's been lining up on the right side and everything we've seen so far, but you just lose a little bit when you're saying, you know, KJ Hill's a burner and Trey Pipkins is an experienced starter.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if he even paid attention to the Chargers at all when writing this article. Saying things like, even Joe Reed, like Joe Reed's fast, but he's not a burning speed guy. He's not a Tyreek Hill or a Chris Johnson or any of those type of guys when it comes to speed. He's really elusive, probably can have some breakaway speed in the open field, but to say that he's got speed to burn, that's kind of overdoing it. KJ Hill definitely is not a speedy guy. He's just really good route running wide receiver who can find a spot and catch the ball pretty well. But to say he's got speed no. I'm sorry, bro, but you got to check your facts. I don't know what he was thinking of when writing this thing, and it kind of makes me want to look at these camp battles and go, is this really a camp battle, or did he just pick this up off the floor and say, let's try writing this? He doesn't even talk about the quarterback position. Like, yeah, Anthony Lynn probably says, yeah, we're definitely going Tyrod Taylor, but who says Herbert doesn't impress? Who doesn't say Tyrod doesn't get hurt and they give Herbert the start for week one and he earns it the rest of the year? Like, he doesn't really reference it much. He basically is just talking about Tyrod Taylor. He doesn't really talk about what Justin Herbert can really bring to the Chargers. So what exactly research-wise did this guy do to write this article, especially saying Bulaga playing left tackle? I mean, I don't know. Have you guys heard anything about that?
No, I mean, we've actually seen him on the field at this point at training camp lining up right next to Trey Turner, and I don't think they're both switching sides.
Yeah, because when we first got him, they were even saying that's going to be the right tackle with Trey Turner and then Mike Pouncey or Scott Quisenberry, and reports came out that they were going to go with Mike Pouncey if he was healthy enough to play, so the right side was already figured out. It was all the left side, so to try to switch this up now, it kind of seems like he's really trying to just make someone go, hey, this is new. I should probably share this article.
Yeah, it didn't seem especially recent just because I think when it was published, there was already pictures out of Brian Bulaga and Trey Turner lining up next to each other. But the other thing about having quarterback as a position battle on here is the fact that we really haven't heard that except for one time when he said, you know, we love competition and everybody's job's kind of on the line. But everything we've heard besides that is that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the quarterback and that Justin Herbert just isn't going to have enough time to catch up. So to have that be the second biggest position battle, like obviously Justin Herbert could come in for Tyrod Taylor if Taylor ends up getting hurt, but that's not necessarily because of the battle that the two had. So I think the other thing is looking at this, David, and is saying, you know, is quarterback even a position battle? Is free safety even a position battle? Because that's assuming that they're going to give Nazir Adderley a real shot at being the starting free safety when the teams open up for their first game. And it just doesn't really seem like that at this point with all the, you know, high praise of Rayshon Jenkins, which I guess if you're covering this from a national perspective, you might not see, you know, the little tea leaves like that. But I think you have to wonder, you know, if these battles that are showing up on the five biggest battles are even battles at all.
Yeah, I think, first of all, you look at quarterback and it can't really be a battle. Justin Herbert has been brought in and because of the pandemic has missed so much valuable practice time on the football field. He's just now getting on the field with everyone else doing walkthroughs, and they're really just doing strength and conditioning at this point. They've already missed so much valuable time that he would have gotten a normal offseason. So I think there's virtually no shot, minus Tyrod Taylor getting injured, knock on wood. Hopefully that does not happen, because I don't think the Chargers want to throw Justin Herbert out there before he's ready. And in this offseason, as it's constructed now, it's impossible that he's really going to be ready to go out there, because I think we all like the tools and the size and the things that Justin Herbert brings to the table, but we also acknowledge the fact that we don't think he's exactly ready and he needs a little bit more seasoning, a little bit more time on the bench to get ready. And, you know, although he has a really good quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, in the mold of quarterback he's going to play in front of him to watch and learn the game at the NFL level. As far as free safety is concerned, I think there's absolutely no way there's a battle there. As much as I would personally love to see Nazir Adderley on the football field, and I think Daniel as well would love to see him on the field as the free safety, Anthony Lynn has simply just gushed about Rayshon Jenkins and how he's going to be one of the top free safeties in the NFL and been just highly effusive with his praise that there's no way, barring an injury again, that we see a real camp battle at free safety.
Yeah, and the only kind of hint that we've even seen at that is when the coaches have talked about maybe having Rayshon Jenkins play some more linebacker or at least a dime linebacker this season. So in that scenario, you would think it would make all of the sense in the world to have Nazir Adderley back there. I think he's the best pure free safety on the roster anyways, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily a battle. And we all know how this Chargers coaching staff is when they get their favorites. And, you know, they're pretty stubborn when it comes to taking jobs away for even a guy who was picked in the second round. But I think another thing about this list, John, you know, we talked about just how these things are all ordered. But the other thing is, it's not even talking about some of the bigger battles. And it's not even talking about some of the battles that I think are actually more of a position battle than the ones that they show on here. So What other battle do you think on the Chargers should have made this list?
I mean, me personally, I know it doesn't really seem like much of a battle, but I think that you got to really look at who's going to be starting defensive tackle, because Jerry Tillery might be your first round pick, but Justin Jones, and I can't believe I'm saying this, Justin Jones has shown a lot of improvement, and you kind of wonder, is he going to get more reps than Jerry Tillery after being around more, and is Tillery going to start blooming as that first round guy? But I also want to mention things like the tight end, the third tight end position. Is Parnum really going to be the third tight end on this roster, or do they have more faith in Steven Anderson than we think they do? Like, stuff like that is what's really making me think. And then there's also Chris Harris with Desmond King. We think Chris Harris is definitely the starting slot corner, but is Desmond King going to get that chance? They're going to use Chris Harris somewhere else? Do they have other ways they want to do this? I think those are the real camp battles in my mind.
Well, and I think when you think of camp battles, everyone always jumps to starters, but there's going to be a lot of really interesting battles at the bottom of these rosters, just four spots. I mean, those are training camp battles just the same. Bobby Hawley versus Gabe Neighbors, that's a training camp battle as well. We also didn't even reference the left guard position, where it's hard to really know what that battle looks like at this point. We know Trent Scott's possibly moving to guard. We know Forrest Lamp has been there trying to beat Dan Feeney out for what seems like five seasons, but it's only actually been three seasons. And, you know, obviously Forrest Lamp's had his injuries, and maybe he's even going for left tackle at this point. So there's a lot we don't know, but there's a lot of very interesting training camp battles that won't even show up on many of the lists that you're looking at. I mean, one of the ones I talked about in a recent article is just Nick Vigil versus Kenneth Murray. Are they just going to give Kenneth Murray just the opening crack at it, and is he invincible as far as playing time, or are they going to go with an experienced veteran in Nick Vigil and try to work Kenneth Murray onto the field in a non-full-time role? So
that's, I think, a good one too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you look at the Chargers history, I mean, they usually will have the veteran, you know, out there first and have the younger guys kind of work their way onto the field. So we'll see what happens here. But I think this was definitely more of a national perspective on it, because I think if you're covering this team closely, I mean, you don't think Brian Bulaga is going to play left tackle. And you probably know that KJ Hill is not going to beat anybody in a foot race. But we do have one more segment to get into, because Hunter Henry had a really fun, interesting interview on the Pardon My Take podcast. So we're going to get into all of his answers coming up right after this. So one of the podcasts that I actually listen to on the side when I'm listening to podcasts, because I, like you, also listen to podcasts, is Pardon My Take. It's a Barstool podcast, and I know Barstool, you know, means a lot of things, but I really like the two guys they have on Pardon My Take, Big Cat and PFT Commenter over there, and they had Hunter Henry on their show. And one of the reasons I like the show is just because they're pretty free to say whatever they want. They can cuss. They usually get athletes to say things that they wouldn't normally say, and I thought, when they had Hunter Henry on, I was very interested to see, you know, what kind of person is Hunter Henry, because he's not a guy that talks a lot, you know. He usually lets his play do the talking for him. But David, what did you think of the interview on Pardon My Take with Hunter Henry? I thought he seemed, you know, like he was having a pretty good time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with those guys, it's got to be super freeing to be able to just say whatever you want, however you want to say it, and not have right. to worry about any kind of backlash. Well, we do not get the luxury of working under those parameters, but I thought this interview was great. Hunter Henry is obviously very relaxed, and they got a lot of great questions in. And, you know, one of the ones that I thought was really interesting is the guys who he thinks people are really going to take a liking to, like guys like Joey Bosa, who he says is just hilarious. You know, it really wants to showcase more of Joey Bosa's personality. And then a coach who has super high energy that have heard all about, which is Gus Bradley. I can't wait. And I mean, even, you know, some of the backstage Chargers videos that have featured some of Gus Bradley, the guy is every bit of loud and energetic every single day, as you saw on Backstage Chargers. So I'm excited to see that without a filter on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, and we'll be doing a little Hard Knocks preview tomorrow, because it airs tomorrow night. And we're going to be, you know, covering that, you know, the day after. We're going to try to watch it the night of, cover it the day after, so we can all kind of catch up on it together, and you guys can send your voicemails in and stuff like that. But I'm excited for it. He also said that he can see the camera crews from HBO kind of following everybody around, but you kind of get used to it after a little while, and that is going to be a lot of fun. And to see a little bit more of Joey Bosa, I think, is going to be something that, you know, I'm excited to see it because we have heard some pretty funny stuff from him, like the mic'd up where he was talking about, you know, really not liking a bench or him getting tired from flexing. But all of those things are going to be really funny to watch. And he also talked about football, too, because one of the things that Part of My Take does is, you know, joke a lot with their guests. And they're basically talking smack to him about the Chargers always seeming to be down by 7. And you know, how that's kind of one of Philip Rivers' specialties late in the game and having to try to come back, which the Chargers have found themselves in that position too many times. But he did focus on a couple of things that the Chargers can do better this year to not find themselves in those situations, Sean. And the two things that he harped on are two things I couldn't agree with more, which are situational football, which has really hurt the Chargers in recent years, especially in close games. I mean, that's when situational football comes in the most. And the other thing was turnovers. So I think, you know, what he was saying is just everyone understands, even in the Chargers building, like if you think they're not talking about all these close games that they're losing, you're wrong. I mean, they all know what it is. And these are two things they're trying to do this season that could maybe help them in those situations.
Well, the fact that he even mentioned that the guys in the locker rooms are always talking about it and joking around about it and stuff means it's on their minds a lot. Now it's just about how are you going to fix it. And they mentioned two things. Okay, cool. You have those two things. But what's the real plan here? It's like saying, you know, hey, we're going to rob a bank. Okay, that's cool. But what's the real plan here to do get that done? Like you say situational football. Okay, well, what's the real plan you're going to have going on here? Are you going to realize the clock a lot more? Realize, okay, you know, the clock's kind of running out. We might want to go faster here. Like, what is the real plan? It's really easy to say the big, vague word, like situational football, but I need to know that they actually know the real problem here. Turnovers, okay, yeah, that's one big issue. But Philip Rivers has been known to be the interception thrower of all this, and Tyrod is supposed to throw less. But do you really know where the turnovers are coming from? Because Austin Eckler is still on this team, and he still fumbles at the goal line. Do we really have the plan for this, or are we just saying this because, hey, we're on an interview, and let's say I need to see real effort into this type of thing? Because he admitted it's been on their mind. They joke about it all the time in the locker room, so you obviously know it's an issue.
Well, I think the thing to take away from this is just the fact that they know they need to get better at it. And if he's saying that and they're always talking about it, you would have to think that the game plan in practice is to work on those kind of situations and to also come up with ways to not only turn the ball over less, but also to find ways to take the ball away more. And he said it's on both sides, and I couldn't agree more. Obviously, you have to go out there and do it. Every team can go out there and say, we're going to go score 100 points. And even at the end of the interview, they asked him what the Chargers' record was going to be, and he was very politically correct, and he said, you know, we're trying to go 16-0. And obviously, that's the ideal. That's what you're shooting for, but you have to be actually able to go out there and execute those things for it to get better. And one of the other things that he talked about a lot in this, David, was Philip Rivers. And the reason that we have to talk about Philip Rivers on this, even though he's not the Chargers quarterback, is because they were talking about his swear replacements, because we all know Philip Rivers does not cuss. So some of the things that he had, to say were always super funny to Hunter Henry. You know, besides everything that Philip Rivers did as a player and how good of a teammate he was, I was definitely stuck on all the different words he uses to try to get around cuss words.
Yeah, no, that was a really, really fun tidbit of information that Hunter Henry bestowed upon these interviewers in this interview. A couple of them was horse mess. He said that horse mess was probably his favorite one that he used most of the time. Golly day, which is not one I have heard, even though I've definitely watched every single mic'd up Philip Rivers has ever done. And gracious to Pete, I definitely have not heard that one either, but I really wish that I did, because Hunter Henry did say that Philip Rivers loves to talk trash. We all know that he's a clean trash talker. I would really love to just get, you know, a sound like a mic'd up where Philip Rivers is mic'd up the whole time, and we get to hear everything that he says, because I'm sure that they are missing some nuggets of gold from Philip Rivers. So gracious to Pete, Daniel, that is pretty hilarious.
Absolutely. I mean, I could listen to that all day. If somebody just made some sort of mixtape where it was just Philip Rivers talking smack to people and never cursing, I would pay a ridiculous amount of money for that, just because I think that's obviously gold. And he hit on some other things too, like about his combine, talking about how he wasn't really made for the combine. And if you've watched Hunter Henry play, you know that he's not the most athletic guy. He's not going to go and light up any kind of 40-yard dash or anything like that. It wasn't meant for him. They were actually talking smack to him because one of the only things he did at the combine was bench press, and he only got 13 reps, which he actually got 18, but they took 5 away for not having his hips on the bench. So they were teasing him about that. But one of the other things they teased him about was just the lack of fans, basically saying that the Chargers would be used to it. And some people were a little bit upset by what he had to say, John, because he kind of acknowledged the fact that the Chargers' home crowd hasn't been great. And we all know the players know it. They're not usually going to say it, but we all know the players know how many fans are at these games. I mean, we all see it and we all understand it. And what he basically said was he's not going to be too sad about not seeing terrible towels in the crowd during any home game. So, John, when he says something like that, do you take any issue with it, or do you just take it as a player that's actually saying something that a lot of them are thinking and he just actually, you know, kind of said it?
I look at that and I say I agree with him. I mean, you're a player. You waited your whole life for this, and then you get in the NFL, and no matter what you do, you're playing around opposing fans. You don't get to enjoy the loud roar of the crowd when you score a touchdown in your own stadium. Like, I would be letting it out too. The thing that bothers me is the fans that are upset about this, and I'm going to call people out here because as someone who goes to the games, who has sacrificed a lot to go to games, including food, over $10,000 in debt just from going to away games, like, I've sacrificed a lot to be there for my team. There's fans that won't even go to at least one game, just spend $100 just to go to one game in a year. And they're the ones at home saying, you can't be talking about us like that. You're hating on us. You're disrespecting our fan base. Yeah, well, what fan base? The fan base that's not at the games, while all the Steeler fans and Packer fans are filling the stadium? Hunter Henry is right. I mean, I would be glad not to see all the Steeler fans filling my own stadium this year. There's basically not much of a difference if the fans aren't going to show up and the opposing fans are. He has the right to vent. If you don't like seeing players say this kind of stuff, then do something about it. Buy a ticket and be at the game.
And one thing that, you know, many of these articles that kind of took this quote and ran did was not really provide the context. You know, they kind of pressured him into saying it. And also at the same time, he was kind of joking around when he said it and said that he loved Chargers fans too. And I think one thing, doing this podcast, you see how many people are passionate about the Chargers, right? So we know there's a fan base. Obviously, not all of them are showing up for games and stuff, but we know there's great Charger fans out there, especially the ones that are really about that life because you've had to deal with so much suffering
over especially the ones tenure. That are listening to this podcast.
Exactly. If you like the Chargers and have to listen to a very specific Charger show like this, I mean, you love the Chargers and you've had to deal with all those things. And it sucks being the running joke of the NFL, you know, when people are talking about, oh, well, the Chargers are used to this. I mean, the amount of times I've seen that joke, I mean, that is such a dead horse that is beaten so often that it's just absolutely crazy to me. But obviously, there are plenty of passionate fans like John Kegley, who goes to away games at Soldier Field and stuff like that. So we know that Charger fans are good. I don't really blame him for saying it because he was kind of pressured into it. And at the same time, it's like, that does affect them, and that's really just a genuine answer that you're just not going to get. But some of the other things he touched on that I wanted to talk about, too, was just talking about Joey Bosa and his dry sense of humor and the fact that they've actually known each other since high school. And when they asked him about having to block Joey Bosa, he didn't say how much it sucked. He basically just said, it definitely makes you better. Obviously, he's a freak, but he's so technically sound. The dude's a beast. His hands, everything he does is so detailed and so very hard to block. And he also said that when he saw Joey Bosa after his big payday, he was acting exactly the same because they were wondering if Joey Bosa is going to be the big shot now. But said he saw him the next day and he's just like, sup. Like, it's just the same exact person. That guy's all football, everything, all the time. But the last little tidbit I'll give you is he said that he loves the powder blue and they're all the time. But the jersey he's most excited to play in is actually the navy jersey because it has the navy bolt on the helmet. And I'm pretty excited to see that look as well. Obviously, the powder blues are always good, but that's definitely a new twist in this collection, even though they're all pretty damn good. Exactly, and Hunter Henry's another big football guy's guy. I mean, even when talking about his franchise tag, he sounded excited. He totally understood the fact that he hasn't been healthy and he needs to go out there with a chip on his shoulder to prove why he deserves that big contract. I mean, he's a very lovable guy. I mean, it definitely got to see it during this podcast, but I thought it was a lot of fun, but He said, yeah, we get super jacked up when we all look really good, look good, feel good, play good. But once you're on the field, none of that stuff makes a difference. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow. We're going to be previewing HBO's Hard Knocks, which is going to be dropping tomorrow night. So we're excited to talk about that with you guys. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. We're planning on doing another voicemail show this week. We need at least one more voicemail to get on the show with us this week. So if you want your voice on the show, the number is 323-524-7924. You can also text the number and give us a question on there as well. But that is going to wrap it up for today's show. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.